Good morning. The first reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The second reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." This is the word of the Lord.
So as we have been working through Matthew's gospel, we know that it is chock full of these pithy little parables. More than any of the others, Matthew has these curious stories. So what do we have today, right? The kingdom of heaven, that's how Jesus starts, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a ruler, a leader, a king, who gave a wedding banquet for his son. That's how it starts. The realm of God, the way God desires for us to be together, could be compared to this wedding feast. First thing I would want us to notice is that there's an urgency to the invitation to come to this party, to this feast. Because the invitation goes out at least three times, right? Initially, somehow the invitations went. Because then we hear that the king sent his slaves to call the invitees to the party. Now's the day, where are you? And then when there's no response, the king sends more servants out to invite them again. And then finally, the end of the story. So the king really wants those invited to be present at this feast. There's an urgency. So if we're in the crowd listening to Jesus tell this story, we know that the guests who received the first invitation, without a doubt, they were the A-list, right? They were the elite in the town, in the realm, because, well, it's the king throwing the party, and so certainly the slaves who were the messengers, they weren't invited to sit down and have a drink. The tenant farmers that we talked about last week in the parable of the vineyard with the wall and the guard tower, they weren't on the guest list. And so in the crowd, we're kind of going, this is very curious. The A-listers snubbed the king. That's like political suicide, right? You don't turn down the high muckety muck. That's just true. And so those gathered around teacher Jesus, you can almost hear them kind of saying, what's going on here? Maybe you can see their eyes getting big, like, where's he going with this story? Well, the story goes on that the king sends others to try to convince them that they really better get to the party, lickety-split. Just turning down the invitation, that wasn't smart. And so scripture says they made light of the invitation, and they went away. They turned away from the invitation. Not only did they simply ignore it, they shrugged it off and went elsewhere. And according to the story, one went to his farm, then one went to his business, and the rest, yikes. The rest seized the messengers, the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. Wow. This is like way beyond ignoring the invitation and making the king angry. This was way beyond just political suicide. Their self-importance, these guests who said, we're just not interested, their self-importance brought the king's rage down on everyone. Because then the story says the kings had his troops kill the town leaders and burn the city to the ground. If you're sitting in the crowd there that morning when Jesus first told the story, they might be getting a little restless. It's one thing for the pompous fat cats to get taken down a peg or two. Maybe they applauded that part of the story. But, my goodness, a lot of innocents lost their homes in the outpouring of rage from the king. How in the world is this like the realm of God? What is Jesus talking about? Well, here's how. Because those invited were not worthy of the feast I have prepared, says the king. Go, therefore, invite everyone you find to come to the feast. And that's what they did. They went out into the streets, perhaps traveling down the road to where people were now in tent cities after the city had been burned. They went out and brought in, scripture is so curious, both the good and the bad, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. Well, that crowd around Jesus is into it now. The wedding feast was filled with all kinds of people. They're clapping, they're hooting. Amen, brother Jesus, I'll come, teacher. I want to sit at the welcome table. Ooh. Well, friends at Old South, here's the deal. There is no hierarchy in the beloved community. There is no A-list of invitees. In fact, there's no list at all. There's only the invitation that comes from God, mailed out, if you will, by Jesus. Come to the feast, where there's always enough and more than enough for whoever shows up. Oh, and it's really urgent that you come to the feast. OMG at this feast. Look who I'm sitting next to. This is the last person on the planet that I want to have a conversation with. Oh my goodness, look who's sitting over there. That's Joe Schmo, who stood up at the meeting several years ago and said out loud that we're going to hell because we've become an open and affirming church. Oh, look who just came through the door. That's Sally James, who said she would never darken the doors of the church again until we hired an organist and used that magnificent instrument instead of just the piano. I don't know if any of that's true. Darn it, Jesus, you don't really mean to say that God's desire is for all of us to sit down together in harmony and genuinely somehow let all the rancor go in rejoicing? Well, what did the writer to the new little church at Philippi say? Stand firm in the Lord, he said. Euodia and Syntyche, stop fighting. Find the middle ground. Be of the same mind that was in the Lord. The rest of you help these women because they are laboring on my behalf. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord, the writer said. Find a way to experience deep joy, deep possibility. Be gentle. Don't worry about anything. Be prayerful. Be thankful. Oh, I love that this is where we get this line. For the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, says the writer, and the God of peace will be with you. I think this is maybe the most important reason for folks in America today to come to church, because these are hard, contentious, ugly days out there in the world, and we're called to come into this house of prayer for a little bit of time and dig around in this guidebook that we have received and be with one another and be reminded that walking through each day, we are called, to be gentle, to not worry about anything, to be prayerful and thankful, to stay rooted in Jesus, who sent us this invitation to the party, where we're going to one day be with everyone, because the assurance is that the peace passes understanding is ours. So may it be for all.